So, have you seen the new pictures of Logan Lerman?
So I think I'm looking at it right now. Is it the one where he's like looking over his
Let
shoulder?
me see.
Is it that one? Ah, that
Yeah.
doesn't even look like Logan Lerman
Doesn't he look
anymore.
so good,
He looks like an
though?
army man.
Don't say that.
No, but in a good way, not in a bad way. But
No,
so
all
he
of them
dyed
look
his
the
hair? Is that what's
same.
going
No,
on?
he's just going
He's
gray.
that old?
No.
Oh. Because I'm
See,
like,
how
wasn't
old
he
is
in Perks of
he?
Being a Wallflower? Wasn't he a high schooler in that?
No, he's 28. That is kind of, that's
But
older than I thought he was.
that's kind of nice to go gray at 28. I feel like that's a good move, like
No, but like
politically.
he, this picture too. Okay, I can't really turn my screen around, but like, look at that. Doesn't he look so good?
I mean, he looks like Logan Lerman in that one. He looks like Logan Lerman. He does not look like Logan Lerman in this one.
I don't know, he's going like a little bit of a beard and like just the scraggly like hair. He looks so unhinged and it looks so nice.
He's turning into a man.
He kind of is. I tried to watch the show Hunters with him in it, the new show.
Hunters?
Yeah, about them like killing Nazi. I didn't like it.
I have not seen that.
I like the killing Nazis aspect, obviously, but it was like they were trying very hard to be like a Tarantino thing and like
Oh.
don't do that.
Only Tarantino can do that, and even then, he can't really do
Even then, it's
it. He did
questionable.
it once in Pulp Fiction, and he can't
Yeah.
do it ever again. But yeah, he looks like a new man. I can't even recognize him, honestly.
Logan Lerman?
Yeah, Logan Lerman in this new
Yeah.
picture.
Oh, so good. So good. Such good content. But I like that he's like he's the white boy of the month now, so like it's distracting all of the attention from Robert Pattinson, especially after that like meme picture of him. You know the meme
No,
Robert Pattinson picture?
I don't.
Just
Robert.
look up Robert Pattinson meme.
I've never seen this
That
before.
picture is like everywhere right now.
That
But
does
like
not look like him.
no, I'm sure that was when they were filming Good Time, right?
Oh shit,
It had to
yeah.
have been.
Yeah.
But like because that picture's been like such a meme lately, I feel like less people are attracted to Robert Pattinson, which leaves him all to me.
Go
He'll
get
be
him, Stella. Go
mine.
get
He'll
him.
be mine someday.
Go plot
No,
about your
I feel like I love him. I'm in love with him, but like I think maybe he would drive me insane in real
Yeah, I just imagine him. He'd be like how he was in The Lighthouse. Like that's
life.
he's.
That is not what I
And then do you think he'd be in Twilight? Is that what you're thinking?
No, like more like in I don't know, fucking I'm trying to think. Like High Life.
I never saw High Life.
Well,
Damn.
just like sad and like jerking off a lot.
He also jerked off in The Lighthouse a lot.
Yeah, but he had the accent in the lighthouse, and like he was like killing seagulls and shit. Like,
It was like a
yeah,
psychotic jerk off.
all of it was psychotic. That movie was awesome.
It's really good.
We saw that together,
We
right?
did. We
Yeah.
almost saw it at the Brattle with
Oh
that
yeah,
director.
fuck.
But people were lining up since like for like 8 hours before the
Which
movie.
like
It's like,
psychos?
what the fuck? We've got lives. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And so then we saw it at the AMC across from Emerson.
Yeah.
So we went all the way to fucking
Yeah,
Harvard
I took the
Square.
bus to Harvard and then we took the train back to campus.
Was not good.
Very cute of us.
But it was fun. It was a good movie.
It
It
was a
was a great
fantastic
movie.
movie.
I also think the white boy of the month is always Timothée Chalamet. I think he's always in the background. Is he not? Is
Nah.
this just not? I'm not. Am I not in tune?
I think society has progressed past the need for
He's
Timothée
moved
Chalamet.
on.
So this episode's about Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, 7 minutes in, we're gonna be talking about Charlie Kaufman in this episode.
Yeah, completely unrelated to anything we've said so far. As usual, I'm Stella.
And I'm Graham Wheeler Nelson.
And we're junior VMA production majors at Emerson College. And this is our podcast where we talk about directors and their movies and
And lots
nonsense.
of nonsense, mostly nonsense.
Mostly nonsense. If you're here for the
And
nonsense.
it's called Anything
Anything
But
but Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Because we're not going to talk about Spielberg.
We're not gonna go there. Stop it.
Stop.
Fuck you.
So, a little bit about our boy Charlie Kaufman. He was born in New York City and went to BU and NYU.
I did not know he went to BU.
I
That's very
didn't
surprising.
either. I feel like we should let them know that this
Oh
episode.
yeah. So this episode we recorded last Friday, and apparently Adobe Audition decided to shit in its pants.
Yeah, there's
And
literally shit all over the pants.
so when I switched windows to look at the notes, just didn't record any of it. And so that's the lost episode now.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's lost into the abyss.
But we're doing it again because
Charlie Kaufman's worth it.
Charlie Kaufman's worth it. He really is. He deserves the best. And we wanted to go over his new film, I'm Thinking of Ending Things, which we both saw recently, and just go over all of our thoughts again.
Yeah, but this time it'll be way better.
Yeah, so much better. We've learned. We've grown. We are ready.
We are prepared. So he went to NYU, and he originally apparently wanted to be an actor. That's strange.
Yeah. And but like so, he also went to BU, which is crazy because like I don't really associate BU with like a really great film program.
No, definitely, and I feel like you never hear about any good filmmakers coming out of BU.
Yeah,
like there's no alumni. I feel like, well, I'm sure there is. Don't get me wrong.
BU alumni, let's go.
I'm probably talking shit, but I mean,
you're gonna start the Emerson BU war, and BU's gonna win.
They're bigger and tougher. But it's very surprising. I had a I did a lot of theater in high school, and one of the guys who like ran the theater, he was like the programming director. He went to BU, and I told him I was going to Emerson. He's like, I know where that is, and I was like, oh shit! Like, thanks, Russell. So Russell, if you're listening,
shout out to Russell.
If we can get Russell on the podcast, that'd be great.
Dude, we'll take anybody on this podcast. Come on in.
It's true. We've got open phone lines.
Yeah. Call in. Whatever.
So are there any BU alumni?
Yeah. I looked it up. Julianne Moore.
Okay.
Jason Alexander.
Those are actors, though.
Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, no. Didn't Martin Luther King go to BU?
Did he?
I think he did some PhD.
Marissa Tomei. Though. She's an actress from the 90s.
But no filmmaker.
Howard Stern.
Oof, duh.
Jenna Marbles went to Suffolk.
That makes a lot of sense.
Andy Cohen.
But nobody did the film program.
Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens. Peter Paul Rubens?
Pee-wee.
From Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah, that's Paul Rubens. Jerked off in a movie theater.
Yikes. But I mean, what else are you going to do in a porn movie theater?
I literally hate that he got canceled for that because he was literally in a porn theater and jerking off. And it's like,
what else are you going to do?
Honestly, like, at least, like, he never raped anybody. He didn't assault anybody. He was just jerking off in a movie theater. I feel like, and like, it was a porn theater. Like, it's not like it was a random movie
theater. No, no.
It's where you go to jerk off at things. So, like,
I think that's okay. I think it's okay. Especially in those times, like, I'm sure back then they didn't have any porn. Like, you couldn't just go on Google and search Pornhub.
When was it? I don't know, but it probably wasn't in like the Gilded Age.
I feel like back then it was a big deal. Like in New York, like wasn't Times Square just all porn theaters?
Yeah.
And so I feel like it was more normal. It was a huge like subplot in Taxi Driver, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That girl to a porn theater.
Yeah, I forgot that that happened.
Stop stealing my moves.
That's so good. Okay.
Yeah, anywho, Charlie Kaufman, he went to BU. He probably did not go to any porn theaters. I would venture to guess. You'd probably make a movie about a porn theater, though.
So he, like, mostly started off writing comedy. He wrote for the Dana Carvey Show, which I thought was, like, a weird transition into what he does now.
That's very strange.
And then he just, like, wrote comedic sketch shows for a while, and then, look at
Sky. It's such a cute cat.
I just got distracted. For the folks at home, my cat's on the couch and she's on her back, like by the back of the couch, and she just put her little tiny paws up on the couch and was just batting them in the air, and it was amazing. Anyway,
yeah. I feel like you don't make the transition from sketch comedy to like avant-garde filmmaking.
Yeah,
like the best of the avant-garde.
I feel like it's actually not that crazy of a stretch because like both of the people who would do those things are like dead inside.
Very true. Very true.
So it's like it's a natural progression. He's married happily to some random lady who I don't know, but like that's really good for him. I personally did not expect that he would be in a happy marriage.
Judging from the films, absolutely not. But I feel like normal people make fucked up films and like can act fucked up.
Yeah.
And like there's that duality there.
Duality.
Where it's like you can be a normal person and also make shit that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And like explore those themes of like that everybody has inside, but also just be a good person at the same time.
Yeah. again, moral of the story at the end of the day, always be a good person.
It's true.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I like seeing that kind of thing where it's, like somebody who makes, like, disturbing at times and just, like, really, like, psychologically challenging content who just, like, has their shit together. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, Charlie.
Not that marriage is a measure for having your shit together, but, like, he seems happy, and that's good. I like when people
good
are
for
happy.
Him. Good for him. And I'm glad it's not, like, a Hollywood woman, where it's, yeah. like, it's sweet and all, but, like, it really does warm my heart that he's more of a normal man.
Yeah.
And that he's not, like...
But I'm not even, like, half surprised by that. He's never really had that, like, Hollywood persona much.
Definitely. He's coming at it from the outside.
He literally writes movies with himself as the main character, but he's, like, not portrayed in, like, a great way.
No, definitely.
So, what are your impressions of his work?
So, I fucking love Charlie Kaufman. It's no secret.
You like Charlie Kaufman?
Excuse me. It's no secret. I'm a fan. Personally, I like a lot of his later work better than his earlier stuff, like Adaptation and Eternal Sunshine, which, don't get me wrong, great movies, classics even. But I just think that, like, Schenectady, New York, Anomalisa, and I'm Thinking of Ending Things are so much better than those movies. But overall, I fucking love Charlie Kaufman. I think he really explores a lot of fucking... dark shit that doesn't get proper treatment in Hollywood in a lot of modern movies.
No, that's my thoughts exactly. I feel like, he has a lot of, like, signature signifiers of his work. But I'd say, like, story-wise, just the focus on, like, everything that's below the surface in terms of, like, anxieties and insecurities and just, like, general, like, banalities of life and, like, the things that we don't discuss but that are so, like, prevalent in our day-to-day interactions and, like, our inner monologues and, like, who we are, but that, like, most movies don't show because it's, like, it's not really, like, it doesn't fit very well in, like, your typical, like, story structure, so I get it, and, like, I don't write movies like this, so, it's impressive that he's able to do it, and, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, it's so great. And visually, everything he does is stunning, too. I mean, like, some of his earlier stuff isn't, like, there's not as strong of a focus on, like, striking visuals. But, like, it's just, like, it's still good.
Yeah, very, very iconic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the fucking 7.5 floor, like, you can't get past it.
It's great.
But I really like how you brought up the banality. And it's, like, it's like the feeling where it's, like, there's words in other languages that there are just no words for in English. And once you, like, learn the definition of those words, it's like, oh, I never knew there was a word for that. But I experience that every single day of my life. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I've never heard it articulated before.
That's such a good way of putting it. And I think, like, that's, like, kind of what, like, art should do.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time. And I feel like, cinema necessarily doesn't have to do that. To a certain extent, like, because, like, there is such a steady formula for, like, how to write movies and, like, make characters and stuff. Like, you can stick to that formula and still have a fantastic movie, and it can still be really good and engaging. But, like, I feel like that's when it crosses the line into, like, art, when it really, like you said, like, expresses something that lies below the surface and that, like, you didn't really think there was a way to express before that.
Yeah, it's, like, I think that's, like... in any art form, the point of it is to express or to take something subjective, something in your mind, something you're feeling, a thought, a fucking image, whatever. But we're all alone at the end of the day. Like, we can only communicate through this, like, clumsy language that we talk out through the same thing we eat out of. And that's fucked up. Like, it's so hard to communicate, like, what's in your head. Like, you're never going to be able to fully communicate your humanity to someone. And I think art is one of the few things that you can do that through, is taking something subjective and turning it into an object and something you can actually hold. And I think that's what's cool about shooting on film too, is it's an object.
Yeah.
That you can fit, like, see and hold and touch.
No, you're totally right about film and Charlie Kaufman. I'm not, like, a film purist, but, like, there's just, like, something, like, because I took film one last semester, and it's, like, there's just something really special about that.
Yeah, and especially 16 millimeter, and just, like, when you're, like, like it's just you and like a couple actors, and mm-hmm. it's just like you're freewheeling it. It's yeah. just like it's such a fat, like just a fucking awesome feeling.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
But like I think that there's like so many benefits to digital shooting.
Oh yeah,
too.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's way, way easier to shoot digital.
It's like way easier, but I also like that like it makes film like a more accessible medium to everybody, which means that there's more content being made, which means there's better content getting made. So oh, it's yeah. like, I think that's really cool.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into some movies.
So should we start with I'm Thinking of Ending Things, because that was his most recent
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, let's do it. This came out just like this last month on Netflix. It's a crazy movie.
It's fucked up. Like, this is a movie where you've got to commit the whole way.
Yeah, you can't watch this and, like, be, like, on your phone or anything. Like, no. This is, like, demands your attention, and it won't make sense when you finish it. You won't understand
it. It will not. No, definitely. And I feel like that's one of the weirder things about it being released on Netflix only.
Yeah,
is that
right?
It's a movie you have to commit to, and it's not like you can walk into a theater and sit down for Schenectady, New York, and you know you're in it for the whole time. And it's like, you're not getting up out of that seat because you paid $8 for that seat. And so you're staying for the whole damn time. But with something like Netflix, you've got the whole fucking internet at the tip of your fingers. And Netflix is all, like constantly like, want to watch this? Or this, or this, or this, or maybe this. We think you'd like this. Like, you've got everything. And our minds are so busy now, it's so hard to sit down for 2.5 hours and actually fucking pay attention to something like that.
Yeah. Like, so I'm Thinking of Ending Things was just like, in general, like, such a bizarre film. I can't imagine, like, the average Netflix viewer, like, really being interested in it at all. And I'm not, like, that's not me being like, oh, all the normies out there are gonna like this one. But, like, honestly, like, unless I watched it to, like, prepare for this podcast, but there were, like, points where I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
And, like, I really liked it, but it was also, like, a lot.
Yeah. A lot is a fair term to describe that movie. Even just, like, in the pacing, because the first 30 minutes of the movie, they're just in a car the whole time. Like,
yeah.
I'd imagine if you're an average, because the preview looks pretty normal, and I didn't even know it was the Charlie Kaufman movie until I saw his name, Charlie yeah. Kaufman, and I know his name is Charlie Kaufman, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's Charlie Kaufman? And so I would just imagine if you're an average Netflix viewer, you click on that, think it's a new Netflix original film, and these people are in a car for the first 30 fucking minutes of the movie, and then you fast forward some more, and it's like, oh, they spend 20 minutes in a house, and then they spend another half an hour in the car.
And then they're at high school, and then...
and then the movie's over.
Yeah, this is a very pretentious statement I'm about to make, but the movie is, like, a little poetic. Like, it's like a poem in the sense that, like, if you really take the time to decode it, you can find a lot there.
Yeah.
But I haven't done it.
It needs multiple rewatches.
It needs multiple rewatches. It needs you to sit and take notes while you watch it.
Yeah.
Like it requires a lot of attention, which I would love to give it if I had more time, but like I probably won't.
Yeah. And that there were some parts in the car where I was like, I'm sure they're saying important things, but I just need to get out of this goddamn car right
yeah.
now.
I need them to stop.
And it's like you're reading a 5-minute poem, just
yeah.
like looking at the camera.
Yeah,
but it's so good. I love it. And it came back and paid off so well, though.
It's like there's so many of these ridiculous moments, but I really like it.
Yeah. And I feel like when you rewatch it and you know it pays off and you know, like, it's like, oh, no, shit, I need to pay attention to this. And, like, just, like, let go and be like, oh, no, I'm just going to watch this and, like, accept
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I need to put away that critical, like, oh, this is weird. I can't. This
yeah.
is weird.
This is weird. Why are they in the car still? I need them to leave the car.
But it works so well.
And it's, like, just, like, a deep dive into, like, this relationship. It's just really interesting and, like, it feels like very personal, and like there's something almost voyeuristic about the movie because it feels yeah. like you're just like looking and like because you're watching it from the protagonist's perspective. I don't even think she has a name in the movie.
I can't remember her name.
I think her name was just like
woman.
And like basically like you're watching from her perspective, and like she's getting this glimpse into her partner's life, and like seeing too much, it feels like.
Oh, way too much.
Like, and it just feels like it's so invasive, but it's like how she feels too, I guess. And it's just like, it's very strange.
And it's so ironic that she's like literally thinking of ending things with this guy. And then she learns his entire life and lives with him and watches his parents die. And it's just like, what the fuck? But I think also this movie I think this movie is more subjective than any of his other movies.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
You literally have the inner monologue of like all her thoughts, which is a really interesting concept for a movie. Like, not many movies do that ever, and especially for that long and that extended period of time, and just like what she's saying too.
Like, and like I don't know, the general like emotional capture of the movie is like pretty cool, and like that feeling of like being stuck in like a relationship and like just really like wanting like to like not knowing why it wants you want it to be over, but like just knowing it needs to be, and like that feeling of like not wanting to hurt somebody, and like all of that like all like balled up together into like this like general like dreading is like really apparent.
The sense of anxiety, I think he really communicates a lot anxiety in a lot of his films. Like, I feel like it's more socially based. It's more based on relations to other people. And in, like, Schenectady, New York, it's a lot more internal.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It's not selfish, but selfish.
No, I get what you're saying. It just, like, in this, like, Schenectady, New York was more of, like, this, like, portrait of this one specific person, probably a vehicle for Charlie Kaufman portraying himself.
It's a safe guess.
Yeah. But like him and all of his insecurities and all of like his like problems with his own life and like everything he's internalized. Whereas like I feel like I'm thinking of Ending Things was like more just like about that like the process of like a relationship between two people and like more about that link rather than like the individual as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. And like the deterioration of that link, but also like the inability to break that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So the question I had for you on this one was John the janitor, or was he assaulted by the janitor?
Only clue I see that he was assaulted by the janitor was the Peeping Tom shot.
Yeah.
Where they were, like, fucking in the car.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, looking at them through the window. That was fucking creepy.
Yeah, and then, like, it was, like, a flash, and then John was, like, he said something, like, he's, like, oh, we don't worry about it. Like, it was something specific that was, like, insinuating that he knew this man, and this man was dangerous.
Oh, fuck. See, I don't think I even picked up on
that.
Oh, shit.
So, like, I don't know. Like, and I just feel like the whole film had this, like, weird sexual undertone, and I don't know how to describe it, but, like, there was something there where it felt like there was just, like, something below the surface that they weren't saying, but, like, something involving, like, that kind of thing that, like, just was being, like, kind of hinted at, but not really explicitly said the entire time.
Yeah, I think there was a lot with the boyfriend character and like, just everything in his past and his family and his mom, like, Toni Collette.
Yeah.
Fucking Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
Toni Collette, once again, great freak-out dinner scene. Great scene. No cry screaming.
No cry screaming in this movie, which is always a disappointment. But Toni Collette, if you want to come on the podcast, we'd really like to have you.
Shout out to Toni Collette.
Dude, she's so amazing. I love her so much.
She really is. But she definitely has psychosis in this movie.
Oh yeah. God, I love her. I think we already talked about her a lot in the Hereditary video, so I won't go into my love for her too much, but like...
But let it be said, we love her.
But I loved her insanity in this movie.
Yeah.
And like, just very wacky.
Yeah, and trying to keep it together too.
Yeah.
That was the saddest part.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the guy who plays her husband in the movie? The dad?
I don't know.
He's in Harry Potter. Yeah, that's it.
No.
it's not David Thewlis. He's in season 3 of Fargo, as we were talking about in the Coen brothers episode. So yeah, he's a good actor. And the whole cast is pretty fantastic. I think, I mean, the cast is fucking four people.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
for, like, the end scene, but that, like, whatever.
Doesn't count. Yeah, it's insane what they can do with just four people.
Well, and, like, the girls at the ice cream store. What the fuck was that?
They were so creepy. And when she was like, it's not the cleaning product back there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. Like, what the fuck?
What was that?
What the fuck? It was never explained.
I know, and like,
And there, again, the sexual trauma with those
girls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being like a film analyst podcast, I feel like we should, like, provide answers, but, like, genuinely with this movie, all I can say is I don't know.
Charlie Kaufman, there's only questions.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, that scene had, like, sexual undertones.
Oh, yeah. Trauma, too.
Yeah, fucked, like, up shit. Yeah, and, like, on. Like, he's like, you need to order, like, I won't come anywhere near the place. Yeah. Like, that was weird. And I don't understand it. And I've accepted that.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible, but that's okay.
I know, it's definitely okay. It's absolutely okay. Yeah, I think he was probably assaulted by the janitor, yeah. among other things.
But, like, I also think he is the janitor.
In the end scene, it definitely, with when she goes into the high school.
Yeah.
When the pig. When was the pig? What happened to the pig?
I would love for somebody to have not seen this movie and be listening to this podcast. So chaotic. No, the pig.
Wasn't
the
pig animated? Wasn't it?
Animated pig.
And that was in the high school?
Just threw in an animated
pig. Was that in the high school?
Yeah.
Okay. So that does make sense.
And that led him to the, what's his name? Oh, God. The Jesse Plemons, Kirsten Dunst's husband.
Jesse Plemons?
The lead dude in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. We looked this up last time.
So, the ending scene is fucking weird, though, too.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, and I don't
he
think...
He sings?
In just a school play?
Yeah.
And it was the song he was singing, he was talking about before.
Yeah.
Too. It was so weird. It was really
weird. It was bizarre, and, like, we'll go into this deeper later on, but, like, I think just the, like... I don't understand it at all, and I'm not going to pretend to. I still liked it,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, like, that some people would argue that that's, like, those two are, like, separate things that cannot, like, overlap, but I just feel like...
I think that's stupid.
I think that's also stupid, because, like, if you, like, there's just something about... Charlie Kaufman is a filmmaker specifically, but a lot of filmmakers do this, especially, like, auteurs, but, like, convey...
So, are you a cinephile?
I think it's cinephile.
Are you a cinephile?
It sounds worse. just like, but like something about that kind of filmmaking that is like the intention is more to evoke like an emotional response or like a sensation almost like visceral of like you relating certain things to aspects of your life and like feelings that you've had and like just like internalizing the material rather than like trying to extract a specific narrative from it that like makes sense in how we perceive time or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I think that people get way too caught up in like, what does the movie mean? Ending explained. Like, I don't get it. Like, you don't have to get it. You can just focus on how you felt and just watch the movie.
Exactly. Focus on how you feel.
Yeah, I definitely think that. And I hate it when directors then come out and provide a stupid explanation of what they thought it was about.
That
is like my fucking pet peeve. Yeah,
like, I just think, like, people just need to get better at, like, being like, yeah, that was the movie I just saw. Like, whatever you derive from a movie is what the filmmaker intended for you to derive.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's not a full understanding of what it was about, that was intentional. And, like, take that to mean what it is. Or take that to mean to you what you think it should mean.
Yeah.
Ditto. Ditto that.
I think so.
So let's move on. Let's save Schenectady for the end.
Okay.
Let's do Adaptation.
So Nick Cage is in Adaptation twice, double Nick Cage squared.
Which I mean,
you'll love to see.
Yeah, I've got no qualms. I saw his more. I don't know if it's the most recent movie. Probably isn't. I saw Color Out of Space.
Ooh.
Recent-ish movie. That movie was crazy, and I didn't like it very much. However, it like, it lives in my brain now, and I, like, have dreams about that movie all the time. Jesus. I don't know what's up with that.
Oh, my God. I do not think that is what the filmmaker intended.
No, that's not. I don't know. I just have nightmares all the time. It's cool.
Oh, Jesus. I feel like you could say that about a lot of Nick Cage movies, though.
Yeah, but this one specifically, it's, like, really disturbing. He switches accents, like, 30 times in the movie. Like, I don't know if it's intentional or not. It's a crazy movie, and it's like Aliens. It's an alien movie. It's wacky.
Whoa, that's fucking crazy.
but like, they went kind of, like, along the visuals of Annihilation, which is weird. Did you see Annihilation?
I watched the first half.
You didn't like it?
Not really.
I really liked it.
I don't know.
This is where our tastes kind of diverge, though, because I really like that, like, more hard sci-fi type stuff.
Yeah. I'm not a big sci-fi person, personally.
It's valid.
But I, Ex Machina, I like Ex Machina.
So have you seen the I guess it's a TikTok, the one where those like twin blondes are like DaVinci?
Corey showed me that 2 days ago, and we have been quoting it at each other ever since.
That's what you just sounded like with Ex Machina.
DaVinci?
We gotta post this episode soon so this stays relevant.
It's true, it's true. Oh my God, that's a good TikTok.
That is good. That's quality content.
But yeah, Adaptation is also really good.
No, it's Adaptation's a fun movie. It's like, it's crazy, like having somebody use like the platform of film like so blatantly to work out their own psychological issues.
Yeah, and so self-reflexively too.
Yeah,
like, it's the film within film. It's
yeah,
like, they comment on film because he's a screenwriter.
Yeah. But like, yeah, just like literally having somebody like something so self-referential and like also like just like it's so clearly like he made no attempt to like try and make it relatable, but also in doing so he kind of made it relatable.
Yeah, and I think that's the best like thing that art can do, and that yeah. pinnacle of art is that you can make something so specific but also
yes.
so universal.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but Adaptation is fucking weird, too.
Yeah.
And it isn't, it's not Jane Judy Dench.
What?
Who is it? Who's in it? Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep's in this movie. Yeah, she is. We discussed this last
time. I have such short-term memory.
She played that woman.
Gone.
That woman?
Yeah.
Who's writing that book about that
Meryl
flower?
Streep. Yeah. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, admittedly.
I haven't either.
But like, I remember it being like I. It's not something I'd probably seek out to watch again. But it's like
yeah.
also like that was good. Like I could like watch it and be like that was a good movie.
Oh yeah, it was good. It's not as best. People freak out about Adaptation.
Yeah, it's,
and it's like
not really worth that.
It's really not. It's really not. It's definitely not as best in my opinion.
Yeah, no,
but it's good. It's classic Charlie Kaufman. It's like this and Being John Malkovich are like a double feature in
yeah.
my mind.
So let's move on to Being John Malkovich.
I fucking love Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, it's really good.
In my opinion, Being John Malkovich might be better than Adaptation. Like, Adaptation is really good.
I'd say so. I mean, so it's, like, weird because, I mean,
because it wasn't directed by him either.
They're...
Or,
wait,
was
did Adaptation?
Who directed Adaptation?
It either Spike Jonze directed it or Charlie Kaufman. Because I actually...
Spike Jonze!
Oh, directed Adaptation? That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay.
Wouldn't it be weird to direct a movie about the guy who wrote the movie?
And then, like... He's on set, and he's like, hey, that's me. You're doing it wrong.
Like the
not...
Spider-Man meme. Like...
And then Spike Jonze is just in the middle going, ah.
I'm Spike Jonze.
And there's two Nick Cages just hanging out. But yeah, Being John Malkovich. I love anything John Malkovich is in, honestly.
I like the implication with what you just said is that when they, like, clone people in movies, they just, like, actually have a double of that person on set. There's just two of them. They just make it work for the art of cinema.
Well, I mean, they're in the same shot.
So
how are you? Are you telling me they use fake movie magic in this movie?
Yes.
Fuck.
Fuck that shit.
But being John Malkovich, no movie magic. He really goes in John Malkovich's head.
You know what I learned? So, like, I don't know any, like, I'm not an editor, but, like, the one editing trick I did learn was, like, how to do that. And, like, now, every time I see, like, a movie, like, bothers me where they do that, because it's like I
the
know
split people.
Yeah, I know the trick now, so it's like I know the, like you did the thing with the clips, and they can't overlap.
Yeah.
So like, there's that issue, and like I'm just fixating it on it the entire time.
And then there's some like shitty YouTube short films where it's like they go up and they almost do it, and it's like
everyone like touch.
And then sometimes in the really shitty ones, they just go all the way over and they don't even care.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just cut off.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, being John Malkovich is so good. And like,
John Cusack? Isn't he the main guy? Oh. Who is
being John Malkovich?
It's definitely John Cusack.
Is it? I haven't seen it in a while.
It's definitely, he's a puppeteer.
I love John Cusack.
He's so good. Have you seen 1408?
I love 1408.
It's so creepy.
Did you come to the hotel with us? We went to the hotel.
Yeah.
I think we
took
went
that
together.
Picture
today.
In
yeah.
the mirror. But nothing happened. It was kind of disappointing, but it was fun. It was supposed to be haunted.
No, Diego, famous TikTok star.
I can't believe you said he has how many views on TikTok?
500,000.
What the fuck?
It's crazy. He doesn't need to come back to school.
He can just survive off of TikTok and Chile.
Yeah, it is John Cusack and Catherine Keener and
John Malkovich. I love that scene.
Love John Malkovich. He's totally unhinged and he's the best.
And I love how he's like, he's just playing John Malkovich.
Yeah.
He's being John Malkovich.
It's amazing. That's acting right there.
I love the scene where John Malkovich goes into John Malkovich's head and it's just all John Malkovich. That's my favorite scene in the movie.
God, what a crazy idea for a movie.
Like, what the fuck? How do you pitch that to
someone? How do they get money for this?
And it's like, it's such an iconic line when they're like, so you go into the 7.5 floor, you go into the door, and you're in John Malkovich for 15 minutes, and then you're thrown out on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Like, honestly, that's a pinnacle comedy there. Like, that's so good of just, like absolute absurdity. But, like, in a way that's so sure of itself. I love it so much.
Like, they always say, like, situational comedy for, like, sitcoms. But sitcoms the situations are never funny.
Yeah.
But this situation.
This is a situation.
This is a fucking funny situation right here.
Some would say zany.
Some would say kooky.
Being John Malkovich is fantastic.
The puppet theme is a great theme.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a fucking funny and great, like.
If you haven't seen it, listeners, it's, what are you doing?
Fuck you. You got this far and you're not, you haven't seen these movies? But, being John Malkovich. Let's just say there's a lot of puppetry going on, okay?
Expect a motif. Puppetry. Motif alert. That was the worst thing I've ever done. I'm not making that a bit. I'm never doing that again. I'm so sorry.
Hey, did you just say motif?
No, let's go on to Eternal Sunshine.
So Eternal Sunshine, also not directed by... Was it Spike Jonze
this
as well?
This was Spike Jonze. I'm okay. Pretty positive.
Did Spike Jonze also do Do the Right Thing?
No, that's Spike Lee.
Oh. What else does Spike Jonze do?
He did Her.
Oh, fuck. See, these guys can't have the same name. This is why you need pseudonyms in Hollywood.
Oh, Spike Jonze also does a crazy amount of music videos.
Oh, yeah, he did the Apple one that was really good.
Yeah, that one and he did that classic one with... Fuck,
oh,
what's
oh,
his name?
Oh, Closing Time.
No. No. That one to that... Fuck. Wait, what's the name of the actor who's in Pulp Fiction and he's like, hid the watch in her ass?
I know who you're talking about.
Christopher Walken! Oh! So, he did a music video for that Fatboy Slim song, and Christopher Walken was in it, and it's such a good music video. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
So also Spike Jonze did Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, have you seen that?
No, is it?
It's pretty good.
Damn, I like the book.
No, I love Spike Jonze as a director. I really like Her.
Yeah,
which is like very cliche of me. You haven't seen it?
No.
You should watch that.
I like Spike Jonze, and I like, who's that guy? Joaquin Phoenix. Did you know his actual name is Leaf Phoenix?
Yeah, I guess you name one kid River, you gotta name the other Leaf.
That's fucked up, so I'm glad he changed it.
Dude, like, he's, like, kind of going off the deep end.
Isn't he always going off the deep end?
Yeah, but he started, like, a lot more lately. I feel bad. He, like, he had a really fucking shitty upbringing, too.
Oh, damn.
And, like, it's, like, basically why his brother killed himself.
Oh, his brother killed himself?
His brother was River Phoenix.
River Phoenix killed himself? Wait, who's River Phoenix?
In Stand By Me, right?
Which one did he play in Stand By Me? The main kid?
Yeah, he didn't stand
Whoa.
By me. Yeah.
And he killed himself?
Yeah.
That's really
I
sad.
I think he killed himself. Wait, let me look that up to see.
Stand By Me is such a sad movie, too. Like, the end of it? Where they're
yeah,
like,
dude.
Like, the first time I saw that, I fucking cried my eyes out. Because they're like, we went on these adventures together. We were best friends. And I haven't spoken to them in 30 years. It's just like, then the movie ends.
And
like, I was like, oh, 12. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, Mom!
Yeah, that's honestly awful. Yeah, it was. Well, it's a drug overdose, so like.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah. Kind of. Like, I don't know if it's intentional, but you can argue any kind of drug overdose is like a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're playing dice with the devil.
Wow. Wow.
But yeah, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is really good, you guys. Jim Carrey. He plays such a serious role.
I love Jim Carrey in serious role.
He's so good. He's so
That's
good.
Like, I'm not the biggest Will Ferrell fan, but Will Ferrell doing a serious role I really like.
Who did he do? Was he in Eternal Sunshine?
No, this is a complete tangent. I hit the mic. My bad.
It's okay.
In Stranger Than Fiction, he plays a serious role. And nobody knows that movie. You should watch it. You would like it. It's like, it's about an author... No, we know. No, it's about an author and an auditor, and Will Ferrell plays an auditor, and this author who like is like notorious for like writing books where the main character dies. He like suddenly like wakes up and his life is being narrated by this author, so he has to like track her down and like figure out how she can stop narrating his life so he doesn't die.
An author and an auditor?
Yeah, literally.
That's a tongue twister.
It's a good movie.
That sounds really
good.
It's
like almost Kaufman-esque. I think you'd like it.
Ooh, that sounds really good, definitely.
Yeah, so I love Eternal Sunshine. It's like such a weirdly positive movie, even though like it's kind of about like pain and stuff. But
yeah,
and
like fucking erasing memories from your head.
But, like, and so my favorite genre of movies, just in general, is, like, movies, like, sci-fi movies that introduce, like, a sci-fi concept. In this case, like, the technology to erase memories. Like, introduce the concept, but, like, the movie isn't about the thing, like, the sci-fi thing. Like, it's about people and, like, how they, like, interact with that, like, concept. I love that shit.
That's a great description. Is that like Primer? Would you say Primer is
Primer
like that?
Primer is like that. I'd say definitely Primer. I'd say Snowpiercer's like that. I'd say Children of Men's like that. Mm-hmm. Like just those movies that like use it as a tool rather than like just the plot itself. I love it.
Yeah. You love to see it.
Love to
and
see
Eternal
it.
Eternal Sunshine is just like that.
Yeah.
And because really it's a kind of a, well, no, it's not. I was going to say it's a minor.
Well,
I don't know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean, though. It's like,
It's not like they focus on it.
No.
Like, it's more of like,
it's
like you say, it's more of a tool.
Figuring out
order...
the technology, and they never explain the technology.
No.
It's just about like,
it's just
it's about
assumed.
This, yeah.
It's assumed.
Exactly. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
People have an issue with that, too.
Oh,
I'm just
fuck
like,
you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You don't need everything explained to you. Just go with it.
Yeah. But the cast is amazing. Elijah Wood's in it. We discussed this before, too.
I need to look up a picture of Elijah.
He's a hobbit.
Oh, he was the hobbit.
No.
Oh.
I mean, well, he wasn't the hobbit in The Hobbit, but he was the hobbit in Lord of the Rings.
And he was in this? Who was he in this? Was he one of the scientists?
No, he was, like, the little, like, dweeby guy who kept trying to fuck, what's her name?
Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah, and... Like, that's fun, and fucking Mark Ruffalo's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is always crazy, and Kirsten Dunst is in it.
She's so good.
Yeah. How can you not like Kirsten Dunst?
Come on, fuck you.
Come on. Come on, guys. Why are you gonna hate Kirsten Dunst?
What are you doing? And I think this is one of the only serious roles Jim Carrey has done. Like, I can't think of anything serious that's good that Jim Carrey is. That's good. Like maybe Man on the Moon, but that's not.
Yeah.
That's not serious. You know, that's
liar, liar.
You ever want to go back and watch Liar, Liar?
Or Bruce Almighty.
Actually, Bruce Almighty is that. I liked that movie when I was a kid.
Bruce Almighty and Liar Liar are the same movie.
No.
No, they're literally, like, story-wise, the exact same movie.
But Bruce Almighty is so much better.
No, they're the same. They're totally the same.
Isn't Bruce Almighty, like, he's God?
Yeah.
But Liar Liar, he can't tell lies.
Yeah, but, like, literally, moral of, like, in both movies, it's that he's, like, in a failed relationship. He's, like, a skeezy dude who's unhappy with his life, and then he gets this, like, supernatural, like, gift or whatever. Just, I mean, it's hero's journey both ways, but, like, he gets a supernatural gift. He struggles with it. He, like, finds, like, ways to take advantage of it, and then he, like, comes around and, like, learns to be a good person, and then he loses the gift and the movie ends.
Yeah, those are the exact movies. You are completely right.
It's just Hero's Journey, which is, like, cool, but, like, also, like, we know what it is, yeah, now.
We got it. And we got it with Jim Carrey. We don't need two of them.
Yeah, I don't know. Fucking, I feel like I've seen Evan Almighty more than Bruce Almighty.
That was the Steve Carell, yeah, one, where he's Noah.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Why Noah? Like, I feel like that's the worst one to do. Like, the worst story of, like, the Bible.
They should have done, like, a Job one.
Ah, that would have been actually, like, a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. I would have watched the shit out of that.
What if Black Mirror just did the Bible?
Every single episode is just honestly, I would watch a show that's like a series like Black Mirror, but like not like future focused, but like where every story is like a biblical allegory, but like focused on a specific like biblical story.
That would be really good. I'd have to read the Bible though, and I'd have to kind of know about the Bible.
Do you know the Bible much?
I vaguely, but I've never read it. But like I know what Job, it's like God hated him and
yeah.
He was like, he loved God, but God was just like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's literally just what happened.
And the guy lived in the whale, but it wasn't really a whale, it was a big fish, but it was a whale.
That was not Job.
But not in, yeah, that was a different guy. But it was also Pinocchio.
I'm going to say that was, no, I'm not going to say because I don't know.
And then sure Noah, 40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah.
Two of each animal. We got it.
Yeah.
We went to Sunday
school. We get it.
Jesus, lay not upon your treasure, Hermas and doth rock you.
You went to Sunday school too? Cute.
For like 2 days.
Oh. I went to Sunday school for 6 years. Ah!
That's painful.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm glad I didn't do that, but I did go a couple times.
Yeah, I mean,
for Easter.
It's when you go, rarely nobody expects much of you, and then you just get to, like, eat all the food and then move on with your life.
You did a coloring book.
Yeah. Like, because honestly, church food, let me tell you, that shit, religious people know how to cook. I don't know what it is.
It's like the sweet old grandma energy. It's like baked into the food.
Dude, well, it's all butter, actually. Ah! The secret is butter. Well, it was also, like, the South, too, so it's like, you're in the South, you're going to church, those potlucks, holy shit, like, it'll kill you, but it's so good.
I've never been to a church potluck, that sounds fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. it'll actually ruin your life.
Anywho, Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's a really interesting.
It's like church food. It's delicious. It's fun. It's easy, but it's not my favorite.
I like Eternal Sunshine a lot because I also watched it at a point in my life where it's something I needed to see. Ooh. And whenever like that aligns perfectly in your life with a movie, that's such a beautiful thing. And so like, that was one movie specifically where it was like, I saw it like right at a point where it was like exactly the movie I needed, and it just like I don't know, the themes just really resonated with me and everything, and it like, it for that reason it'll always like hold a special place in my heart for that.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. beautiful. You love movies like that. You love to see.
Do you have a movie like that?
Where I'd say probably La La Land.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it came out right as I was kind of appreciating movies, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh shit, movies are actually kind of like an art form. And it's like movies can be really fucking good, and not that La La Land is like an art house movie or anything, but it was just like, it was fucking amazing. And I love musicals. Don't get me wrong. and I'm a fucking slut for musicals. And it was just so good. And it was like one of those movies where you watch it and you say, oh, fuck, I want to make movies. Like,
yeah.
It gets you so excited about just like the art form.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of a movie that like inspired me like that. I don't really know.
I think There Will Be Blood is also like that for me. Like, just rewatching it.
Dude, you know what it was? This is obscure. I went, like, first time going to, like, an indie theater, too. And really first, like, indie movie I saw was Blue Jasmine. It's a Woody Allen movie.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that.
Unfortunate. It's such a good movie. And Louis C.K.'s in it, too. So it's just, like, unfortunate all around. And, like, Alec Baldwin. It's just a problematic cast. But the lead's Cate Blanchett, and she's amazing. And like, it's just her, like, she was super wealthy and then she like falls from fame and it's her like dealing with being poor and stuff. And it's like, it was the first movie that was, I'm like, holy shit. Like that, like it like stuck in my head.
Yeah. I can't think of any other movies. I'm trying to think. Fuck. Had to have happened.
Yeah. We'll think it over.
We'll think of more
as we go.
It'll come.
Let's move on to Schenectady.
Yes. So Schenectady, New York, or fucking however you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's okay, it's so dumb because, like, the word is Schenectady, but it's referencing a town called Schenectady.
In New York.
So, like, people just need to calm down about it, I think, in my humble opinion.
Just fuck off, okay? If you're getting all uptight about how you say and what the meaning is about Schenectady, New York, like, if you're correcting people, fuck you.
Fuck you.
But it is a cool detail that it's like, because isn't there like a definition that like fits into the themes of the movie of what Schenectady is?
Schenectady is a like a literary term, like a really specific technical literary term that means when something refers to a whole or vice versa. So like if you're saying like, oh, I got new wheels. You're not referring to wheels. You're referring to like a car. Like, oh, look at my new wheels over there. Like pointing to a car. In the situation, you would be pointing to a car. or like if you're saying like, oh, the Browns won last night. Like you're talking about the Cleveland Browns, but like you're referencing like one part of it. Those are bad examples, but like just
got the idea.
It, just like a specific technical term for something, a small thing representing the whole, which obviously ties into the themes pretty clearly.
Yeah.
But like in a way you could probably interpret a bunch of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like gestalt. It's seeing the tree for the forest. Something like that. But yeah. And I think that's, I mean, we keep mentioning this. We keep mentioning this, but it's what good art should do, is taking such an individual and specific thing and making it universal and relatable and something that everybody deals with. Because obviously, this film, it's such an like idiosyncratic, like, this is what this guy is worried about and dealing with, and these are psychological mm-hmm. problems. But obviously, we all deal with that on a day-to-day basis in our own lives. Like, we all have thoughts like that. We all felt like that.
But it's not something we share, because, like, I think, like, society in, as a whole, but, like, more explicitly movies, I think, like, I mean, maybe it's just me and, like, my mental illness, but I just feel like, we all kind of use movies to, like, code how we interpret the world around us, because it's just the media we're like familiar with, and it's the media that tells us from a young age like how to experience our lives. So like, but we also have these like really human impulses and feelings and anxieties that come through like despite all of that. So I think this is like a rare situation in which like those feelings are highlighted rather than just like kind of ignored.
Yeah, I would say it's like switching the foreground and the background, because in a lot of movies, the foreground is to make a bunch of money, make an entertaining story, like do the three-act structure, hero's journey, you get the idea. But and don't get me wrong, you can make an awesome fucking movie with that, and plenty of movies have been made. Like there's a reason why it's the thing to do.
Yeah,
like, it works really well. But at the same time, it tends to fucking shove to the background a lot of the most important aspects of art and to really explore what's below the surface and like the fucking underbelly of being a human and living on this earth and suffering.
And like just the nuances of life, because there are a lot, but like it's just not something that we choose to like really view in our media. Oh my God, I hope that got picked up by the mic. Also, my cat loves Graham, so she just like came over for some pets.
Bye, Sky.
She's getting angry. It's about dinner time.
She's like, just give me my food. But yeah, it's so interesting to see a movie with such amazing fucking actors like Philip Seymour Hoffman. And to see him in such like a movie that breaks so many conventions and is not like a movie you would see Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is amazing. So good. He's fantastic. So fucking good. But like Schenectady breaks like so many screenwriting rules, like really like basic essential ones. Like one of the number one rules is that your protagonist has to be active. And like rather than the plot kind of happening to them and them being stagnant in that they're the one pushing the plot forward through their actions and choices. And that's not what happens in Schenectady. He's not a completely passive protagonist. Everything is happening around him. But at the same time, like because of that creative choice, it's like, it's not his actions that are affecting the world around him. It's his thoughts, which is like just a crazy concept. I love it.
And it's such an integral theme too, is that that feeling of not being able to do anything or like enact anything or like fucking get any help. Like he goes to the doctor like 6 times in the movie and he's dying. And they're all like, oh, I'm going to send you to another doctor.
I'm a hypochondriac and this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I think I've become a hypochondriac.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time, but I can't watch it often because it that anxiety is so visceral and like it hits. It definitely hits.
It does. It's a very visceral reaction that you get when watching this movie. And I think it's different from a lot of other movies because it so deeply digs into that fear of death.
Yeah.
And the slippage of time.
The way he handles time is like really fucked up.
And it's so fucking subtle too, and it's built into like everything.
Yeah.
Like, all the like fucking prop design. Like, I know it's a cliche.
Yeah, also, I'm generally kind of against video essays that like explain away a movie like that. However, like video essays, this is a good movie to watch a video essay about because you're going to get like more of those little details that there's like probably no way you would have caught, but like, just like, yeah, like the milk carton expiration date, like little things like that, that are very much intentional and you will literally only get them if like they're pointed out to you or if you like really, really intently watch the movie with like notes.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. And there's shit like that all over the film and it's so good.
Yeah. the other thing on that was like the death thing that you brought up. So like his name is
Cotard.
Caden Cotard, and Cotard syndrome is actually a syndrome in which it's like a real syndrome in which you think that you're dead while you're still actually alive.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
See, it's built into everything. Yeah.
But like obviously just like that theme of him like, or not so much theme, like just that visceral feeling that he produces as a character of like feeling like you've wasted your life and like that fear that's so deep within all of us that could be us. And like, that's just, yeah, nobody talks about death in the way that Kaufman does, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as another add-on to the Cotard fun fact, in Anomalisa, which you haven't seen, but it's so fucking good. It's more puppets. So if you're interested in the puppets, go watch Anomalisa. But the guy stays at this hotel called the Fregoli Hotel. But there's this thing called the Fregoli delusion, which is, it says it's a rare disorder where a person thinks that different people are in fact a single person who changes appearance or is in disguise, which is pretty much the plot of the film.
That's awesome.
And it's so good.
I'm not good at character naming like that. I wish I was.
Yeah.
I when I was younger and I'd like write stuff, I'd for every single character, I'd like go and like Google like names that mean this. and that's really, that feels fucking stupid. I don't do that anymore. So like, I don't know what that middle ground is.
I feel like a lot of writers are also really good at naming characters by the sound of their name, where it's like just by the sound, like fucking, who wrote The Christmas Carol? I don't know. But I feel like there's a lot of writers. I can't think of any right now. But I feel like there's a lot of writers where it's like the verbiage and the verbal expression of it tells a lot about the character. But not even what the fuck it means. Just like how it sounds.
I agree. I think I'm more along the lines of like this is an obvious example, but like more broader than this, like you have a frat boy character, you name him like Kyle or something, like names that more reflect like that person's attributes, because that's like, I feel like that's just a more like reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I have been doing, what I did for my last thing is, because I've been binging Love Island all the time, I just like whatever season I'm on, like whoever the contestants are, I just write down their names. Is that illegal?
No, they're names.
Yeah, true.
Fun. And plus, they signed a release. They're on Love Island.
It's reality TV, whatever.
They'd probably love it.
Yeah. Be written into some horror movie where, like, they all die.
But yeah.
Do we have anything else to say about Schenectady? I feel we could talk for hours about Schenectady, really. The acting is fantastic. There's, like, I don't know, just, like, the concept of like sickliness
and your family dying. I think that's a really interesting part too.
This is the first time this has happened. It's exciting. But just like how he is constantly obsessed with the idea that he is dying, constantly saying he's going to die, constantly like exhibiting these like horrible symptoms of something that like doesn't really manifest at all, and eventually he outlives everyone he cares about, and like that's so existentially terrifying. Like, I don't, that's such a horrifying concept that like isn't like mainstream like fear inducing, but like it's definitely like an underlying fear that we all probably have.
I feel like that was a very small part of the Babadook, where she goes to the police and she's like, guys, there's a Babadook in my house. And they're like, what the fuck, lady, a Babadook? But she's like, no, it's real. It's going to kill me. Like, what the fuck? It's a Babadook. But it gave me the very same feeling where it's like, I have this very real issue that is threatening my life.
That was a crazy connection you just made there.
But I can't articulate it to people in authority or people who can do anything about it. And nobody's taking it seriously. But I'm fucking dying. And that's fucking horrifying. And also,
thank you.
And also, he outlives everybody in the movie. He outlives all his family too.
Mm-hmm.
And so his parents die, which is in itself a fucking mind fuck trip. Shit. It's an awful thing to happen. And just to think about that in a movie, that's fucking awful. But then he outlives his children too.
Yeah.
And he sits by his daughter on her deathbed
while her tattoos kill her,
and he has to say he had gay anal sex with
the sexual undertones. Like,
that's not an undertone, that's an overtone.
you're right. But and like but there is, the sexual themes in this one are interesting too, because like that one, that like receptionist lady or the box
the
office
red-haired one? yeah
that like they have sex and then he's like no.
Yeah. He's very impotent.
And yeah.
The theme of impotence is explored in this
movie. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, like, I don't know, he just, like, and, yeah, none of his, like, sexual exploits, like, work out, and it's just, like, but you can, he has, like, a certain frustration there, and it's just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's so well performed and, like, communicated and expressed by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I definitely asked you this before, but have you seen Happiness?
No, I haven't. I have not.
You gotta.
Is Philip Seymour Hoffman in that?
Yeah. Oh, he plays
fuck.
like a horrible incel. It's so bad. Like, his character's so disgusting and creepy, but like,
oh, shit.
But he does such a good job, obviously.
I'm gonna write it down because I really want to watch that.
I don't know if we can say this on podcast, but like, so his character's thing, like, he just like, he's obsessed with his neighbor, so he just like, all he does is sit in his bed and jerk off all day, and he jerks off onto his walls and then smears it all over the walls.
That's fucked up.
Happiness is great. It's a super fucking sad movie. The name is not fitting.
You know, the Bible always talks about how you shouldn't covet thy neighbor's wife. But they don't say anything about coveting thy neighbor's husband. Especially his hot, juicy fucking asshole. We're not putting that in the podcast.
Where did that come from?
That's a Norm MacDonald joke. Okay, I'm gonna cut that. Yeah, I definitely need to watch Happiness. That sounds like a fucking really good movie.
Yeah, it is good. It's it's sad, but it's got Laura Flynn Boyle.
Damn,
it's got more people that you recognize, probably some random character actors.
But it's not animated, even though the poster.
No, you would think it is, and there's like a whole pedophile storyline that's like really honest and sad and like and fucked up, and it's just like it's crazy.
Damn. That sounds like a really good movie. I definitely
You'd like it. Let's go on to best and worst.
So personally, I think his best movie is Synecdoche, New York.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's like it's such a grand movie. It's like
an epic.
It feels like he put his all into it. Like he put everything into it, and you can tell with the product. Like it's just, it's all out there, and like you can absorb a lot of things from it, to the point where it's like it's so specific, but it's like anybody could like get a message out of that, like extract meaning from it. So like I feel like that's really impressive.
And I feel like you can watch it at different points in your life and get totally different things out of
absolutely,
it. Too.
Absolutely,
I'm so excited to keep watching this movie as fucking I change and grow and old and age,
because it attacks like fucking 50 billion themes, there's so many different thematic elements. It's crazy,
and which it just makes it even more sad that this is like his most like personal and epic and probably most expensive movie, and it was a failure in the box office. And like it's so sad that like nobody saw it, and he considers it like a failure.
That makes me so sad. Does he actually not like it?
I think he likes it, but I think like in some interview it was like he said like it didn't do well, and like financially it was a failure.
That makes me so sad. It's such a good movie,
because like he had to fucking kickstart Anomalisa. Like he used Kickstarter to fund that movie because nobody in Hollywood would give him money.
Oh no. But, I hate it all. Burn it down.
Yeah. Fuck Holly. No. Sorry.
we like you. I want to...
Hire me! Hire me!
Hire me! Please, God.
So what do you think is the worst movie of his?
I gotta say Adaptation. And that's hard to say because I like Adaptation a lot. Let me make sure there's no other random.
Yeah, I'm gonna
I'm
Google
forgetting.
This right now because I there's got to be a worse one. How and Why TV movie? I've never seen that.
Human Nature is a dramedy that I've never heard of before in my life, starring Patricia Arquette and Tim Robbins and Hilary Duff.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Okay, do any of these count?
I don't think so.
Because like they're movies that he like did, but like they're not Charlie Kaufman movies.
Yeah, I think you have to clarify the out of the movies that Charlie Kaufman did, they have to be Charlie Kaufman movies.
Yeah, exactly. In that sense, I'd go with Adaptation.
I think. Fuck. Yeah, I have to agree with Adaptation. Because I can't say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but that's where it would be on the list. It would either be between those two. Because Anomalisa, I fucking love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Ending Things. I just can't put a price on right now.
Yeah.
I've got to watch it a couple more times.
It exists in the ether for me at this moment.
It's in limbo. And Schenectady, New York. You just can't be.
You really can't. But but I love adaptation.
Oh yeah, it's
but
good.
I can also completely understand if you don't like adaptation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And like it is like almost like a masturbatory film to some extent, because it's like him very much like he had something he was going through and he's like, I need to like figure this out through a script, and like yeah. That's valid, and like everyone does that to some extent, but like that's definitely what he's doing, and he was not being like coy about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like just because it was also like so old. And not old. I don't know what I'm saying. Just because it was like one of his first movies, I feel like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I take it back. Cut all that
take
out.
It all back.
Cut it all out. But yeah, I definitely feel like it's one of his weakest movies.
Yeah, and
like,
Kidding is a feat under him too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And all of his movies are weird. I feel like this one is just
this one's super really weird.
Kooky. Like this one's weird.
Yeah, it's a little hard to follow.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like it's definitely a little all over the place.
Yeah.
Because like Schenectady is confusing, but it's not hard to follow.
No, logically it kind of makes like it. Yeah, it moment does. By moment, you're yeah. like, okay, he's going here and then he's going there.
Yeah,
this is what's going on.
Like yeah, it's not like it's obviously not like a super normal sensible movie, but like no. But like you definitely can like follow it from his perspective at least.
Yeah, but adaptation is just fucking weird.
Yeah. So what do you think he's trying to express through these movies?
I think that let me think about this. I think that he
you gotta clear your throat.
I think he's really trying to communicate his psychological distress in a lot of ways,
yeah.
Which is true for everybody, and it's very relatable. And I'm so glad that somebody is brave enough to use movies and film as an avenue to express that. And I don't think it gets done enough. But like specifically, I think death is a major yeah. theme in a lot of his movies.
Big time.
And also impotence and like relationships, mm-hmm. especially with Schenectady, New York, fucking Anomalisa too. Yeah. That was a major theme in Anomalisa. There's puppet sex in that movie. and then I'm thinking of Ending Things. I think in all of those movies, the relationships are fucking fucked up.
Yeah, no, extremely dysfunctional.
Oh yeah. And but I think it's fucking fascinating and I love it. And I love Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, just like the exploration of the like insecure attachments is really cool, and like doing it in a way, because like I feel like the film go-to is just like if you're portraying that kind of attachment just to like eventually like resolve it in a certain way, but he pretty much never does
resolve except anything in any of his movies.
Like I'd say he does it the most in Eternal Sunshine, but like also in that one that there's not really resolution.
Oh definitely no.
And like I feel like it's crazy to guess what he's trying to tell us, because he's like so much of what is important about his movies is like your subjective like takeaway, or at least in my opinion. So I think like deriving an objective meaning's a little like crazy, but I think in general like the idea that everyone is kind of like collectively connected under this umbrella of having these experiences and these feelings and these anxieties that, and like you said, the banalities that like the banalities that we just don't discuss, that we like, that we pretend don't exist. And he kind of shines a light on them and lets us know that we're all like, this is a universal experience.
I hate to say it, but I think David Foster Wallace also does that really well with the banalities.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy to bring up David Foster Wallace, but it can't be ignored. I mean, we're already talking about Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, no, like we're already doing
I feel facts. Like it's free reign.
It's so bad. So when we did the first version of this episode, we were like, we just gushed about Charlie Kaufman way too much in that podcast. And then we did the exact same thing again, but I don't have any bad things to say.
No, you can't trash talk Charlie Kaufman. What are you
like,
doing?
Yeah, like I think there's an era of like pretentiousness associated with like that, like Charlie Kaufman and like that kind of like filmmaking especially, but like, and like rightfully so, there's some people who take it too far.
Yeah, but also you can't let those people stop you from legitimately liking a movie.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Enjoying art. and enjoying life in general. And that's one thing I've been trying to do recently.
I know.
Is fucking, like, trying to stay off of, like, Reddit. Because I feel like on Reddit, it's always, like...
Reddit's so toxic, dude.
I fucking hate Reddit. But it's like, no matter what you say, there's people who are like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, that is the wrong opinion.
People are so mean on Reddit. It's crazy.
It's an awful, awful place.
But I'm on it all the time. Ah! I'm like, bad opinions. Actually, I never post on Reddit. I'm just like, I just ghost certain subreddits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like, I try to like ghost like wholesome ones. Like all of like the animal ones. I like that.
They has some good content.
There's some good stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just like, there's definitely certain like thematic things that you can derive from like his movies overall, but I think in general it's kind of silly to do that because like each movie, like you said, is like him working through something psychological, and like you can choose to join him on that journey if you want.
Oh, that's a good way to put
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I think you said it really well. Do you have any like cool or let me think of some adjectives. Do you have any kooky or interesting or maybe even a fun fact about Charlie Kaufman?
Fun fact. Yeah, I do indeed have a fun fact.
Yeah, fuck you.
So Kaufman's fictional brother in adaptation, so the twin Nick Cage, was credited for co-writing the movie with him and actually got nominated for the Best Screenplay Oscar with him.
That's fucking
the
amazing.
Academy's so dumb. And they're just like, yeah, this is right. Like, did they watch the movie? Like
they probably skimmed it.
Yeah, skimmed it. I love that.
Holy shit. Did they go up on stage?
Charlie Kaufman just cloned himself for the bit.
Oh my god.
But, that'd be cute.
Yeah, I love Charlie Kaufman.
Moral of the story, we like Charlie Kaufman.
If you haven't gotten it so far.
And you should watch I'm Thinking of Ending Things, because if nothing else, it's like kind of a fun mental workout to like... Mm-hmm. Like, I've been watching a bunch of brainless shit like all throughout quarantine because life sucks right now, and it's like it's nice to watch something you don't have to think about, but also felt really nice to watch something that was like cerebral to the point where I had to like really focus on it and like actively try to pull it apart.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think especially with what's been going on, it's been really tempting to just fucking close it all out because real life is so fucked up.
Yeah,
that I don't want to watch any more fucked up shit. Like I just want to get through the day. And I think that if you take the other avenue, I don't know.
it's just really rewarding to like challenge yourself now and then. And like, I kind of forgot that, and it was nice to like remember that.
That's very well put. That's very well put.
Yeah. So that's probably it for us, boys. So watch Charlie Kaufman's movies if you haven't. Fuck you.
It's on Netflix. I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
It's literally on
Netflix.
What are you doing? Everyone has Netflix.
Come on.
Come on. Okay, so if you want to get some more updates on the podcast and our lives and our shitty film opinions, my Instagram is at stella.drewss, and Graham's is?
F_Instagram, G-R-A-H-A-M.
And if you want to learn more about other podcasts or get some updates with the community, you can follow Pods on Instagram at pods.emerson and on Twitter at emersonpods.
Bye! Bye.